take the point, 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 take the point. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Take the Points College Football Podcast. We are here for a lackluster week 9. I'm Tom Zeleznak, and I'm here with Dan Partridge via Skype. Dan, not the best week of college football.
So what? Even if it's not like a great week of college football, it's better than any week of the NFL. So there you go.
That is true. We're going to save our NFL sucks and is worse than college rant for later in the season when we have more time to dedicate to this and when we've gotten our ducks in a row. I've been stacking up a lot of evidence for college football and against the NFL. I'm ready to make my case.
I'm excited.
But I think I'll wait a couple more weeks. In the meantime, what's going on with you? I've been very busy with work, and I don't really have any exciting life moments to share with the listeners.
No, same old for me. You know, work, whatever. I did a little charity work this weekend. I feel good about that. Shows you take the points. Isn't just degenerate gamblers. We actually once in a while do stuff that's good. I mean, I'm not going to do a lot of other good stuff for the next couple of weeks, but hopefully it will offset some future behavior. No,
is this part of our Take the Points Cares initiative?
I kind of like that. Yes, I think this might be the first time we do that. Yeah, and I have another one coming up in about a month too, which is really fun. But anyway,
Dan, you're becoming like a good person. What's going on? Is everything okay? Everything all right at home?
Ever since I moved here to Arizona, like, you know, I got in shape and I have a job and a girlfriend and a house and everything's normal. I don't know what happened. I grew up late. I don't really like it. There's still like, all right, hopefully my girlfriend's not going to listen to this, which she's not. But there's still 15% of me, 15 to 20, that just wants to go back to old school Dan and just every day wake up and figure it out. Like, I'm going to gamble a little bit. I might look for a job. I might wait some tables. I might go to grad school. Who knows? Every day was a whole new adventure, and I really kind of miss that. I miss the wildness, but I think I would get tired of that after about 2 weeks. So I think it's fading away.
I agree with you. I think everyone secretly agrees with you. I mean, like Jay-Z, when I graduated college, I had accomplished everything I needed to accomplish in that field. Then I moved on to, you know, New York City, Southern Connecticut, and I felt pretty good about my 10 years there. But there is definitely a part of me. I went to New York a month ago, maybe, or 2 months ago, and there's always a part of me that just misses it a little bit. Of course, I think about it, and I know I could never even live that lifestyle. Like, I go to bed at 10 o'clock now, even if I didn't have a child. Like, I couldn't hang the way I used to in my 20s, but there's always a little part. I'm pretty sure that there are like 92-year-old guys on their deathbed who are like, I just need one more semester at Arizona State.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, you know, I think it's kind of natural. I think everyone wants to, well, you see it more in 2016 than ever, but everyone wants to just work for themselves and, you know, just kind of figure it out on their own. But, you know, till that day comes, I'm going to keep wagering college football and see what happens.
Well, that is a steady career choice. Dan, we were talking before we started about our respective IT careers. We are two of the only people on Earth, and it's weird that we're good friends and this happened to both of us, but we both somehow ended up doing IT as part of our job, and neither of us has any training whatsoever.
None. I have like zero training because I had very cool parents. And they were very smart, but one thing that they messed up on was computers. They said computers are just like an in-style thing now and will fade out in no time, and that was in the 90s. So I didn't like own a computer till I was like finished with college. So I am not qualified whatsoever to do any IT work for anyone, let alone a company that is as massive as the one I used to work for. So very funny.
See, I majored in communications, which means I did nothing and I just learned like beer pong rules from various different frat houses. Smart. Which is a skill in and of itself. But I didn't miss my calling, but it took me a while to figure out my calling was that I was always good at technology. I was the first person to ever have a CD burner back when it took 4 hours to make CDs.
It's a very good first CD. I remember it.
I was programming games on our TI-82 graphing calculator. There may have been a certain Drug Wars game that, here's a quick aside for our listeners. There was a game called Drug Wars that came out for the TI-82 graphing calculator. Mm-hmm. And I didn't invent this game. I just took it from online, you know, downloaded it with an auxiliary cable. But then I went into the source code and I changed a few things to make it about our school. And then I put my name, like I overwrote the author's name and put my name, which now, of course, is like you get in serious trouble for that as a professional. But I was, you know, a kid. I just thought it was funny. But I shared this game with a bunch of other people in our high school. And so now everybody had Drug Wars, the West Genesee version by Tom Zalesnok.
That's right.
And I don't know if I ever told you this, but my mom was at the grocery store one day and she, you know, back in the day, you give a check and you have to show your ID. And the cashier was this high school kid. I don't know who it was, but my mom told me the story. They go, "Zalesnok, are you related to Tom Zalesnok?" And then my mom goes, "Yeah, that's my son." And the kid goes, "Oh man, tell him I love Drug Wars."
That's the best time.
So my mom that's comes so home. Cool. What the fuck is Drug Wars?
We had that. We had Lax Wars, which we made a version of. And in the original version, one of the substances was lewds, and you bought cheap lewds. But we switched it to Lax Wars, and you got cheap nudes off a kid who got suspended for having Playboys in the airport – at the high school when he was a freshman. So I still remember all that. Very funny. You never told me that story about your mom and everybody. That's really funny. But
I totally forgot about it until just now. But my point was supposed to be that I had these sort of technological skills even at an early age, and I never really thought to pursue it as a career.
We should have. We would have been rich. Really rich.
Oh, if I actually had formal training in computer science and I could have started right out of college instead of when I was 27, 28, I could have been a rich man, rich in spirit and in cash.
We're idiots. All of us should have just been computer science majors in 1999. I mean, come on. What? How stupid were we? Unbelievable. Anyway.
Sure. And that one's on me. I can't blame my parents for it. Your dad, by the way, we can cut this out if you want from the podcast, but I had no idea what lewds were. And we were joking about lewds and your dad's like, "Oh man, you kids, you missed out on lewds.
Leave it in the podcast." He would want it that way.
Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, lewds. Oh, they were the best. It's like drinking 15 beers and then you just wake up and you're totally fine."
Dan Senior advice. Very fatherly. "Son, your mother wants to..." This, I got to tell this real quick. He goes, "Son, your mother wants me to have that very important chat with you about sex. We're not going to have that talk. You're going to listen to some Frank Zappa albums, and that's going to be the end of it." This is one of the single best lines I've ever heard in my entire life of anybody. That might be my favorite.
I remember that story. That's really so funny. Good. Dan, have the sex talk with our son. He can just listen to Bobby Brown instead.
Yep. Done. Game over.
You could listen to Bobby Brown, the Zappa song, or Bobby Brown, the early 90s R&B singer. Either way. Or you can watch a video with Bobby Brown, the poison girl. Anyone named Bobby Brown can give you the lessons that you need.
That is correct. But yes, very cool. And yes, leave the lewds reference in. That's awesome.
I feel like we should talk about our time in the gifted program, Dan, maybe at the end. But since we're talking about your dad, I think it's a good segue into his alma mater, the Penn State Nittany Lions, with the big win of the week.
Crazy. You know, we talked a little bit about it last week. Ohio State, two intense road games in a row at places that hold over 100,000 people, and how they're kind of like, you know, a team that expects to play in the playoff. And this is where traps happen, and it was a trap. We just didn't have any confidence in James Franklin, nor should we. It's just he had a good few hours. I think that's what we should kind of chalk it up to.
I still don't trust him at all.
No, it's not like the Penn State's program turned some quarter. It's great and people should be excited, but it doesn't change anything. But it was a great upset, and I was happy as hell to see Ohio State lose. So Even if evil Penn State wants to do it, so be it.
As a lifelong Penn State fan, that was the first time I think in several years, long before the incident, that I've really felt excited about a Penn State game and about being a Penn State fan. I think the last time I really felt that excited about a game was probably had to be the 05 Orange Bowl season, maybe. Or maybe, you know what? They had some pretty good seasons in, say, 08, 09, when they won 9 games in a row and then they lost to Iowa. I think that was late 2000s. But you're talking 7, 8 years since I've really been amped up about a game. And I was watching my daughter. I wasn't really paying much attention. I put her to bed and I figured I'll watch a little bit more. Penn State's down, I think, 21-7 at that point. I said I'd watch maybe 5 more minutes of game time. And what do you know? They scored a touchdown and then they had that amazing punt block return. And I was amped up. I was fist pumping at my house at midnight,
Wow.
very quietly, so as not to wake the little girl.
Smart move.
But it was great. And the two things I noted, first off, I will give no credit to James Franklin. The number one thing I noticed was the difference between this Penn State squad with their two starting linebackers, two of the three starting linebackers who had been out for the Michigan game. One of them's out for the year, but those two guys, Kabinda and Bell, are probably their two best players on defense, along with Marcus Allen. And they're just a totally different team with those two. And it showed. It
Yeah.
shows you in college football how a couple of players can really change the game because, especially when it's a middle linebacker who's a leader of the team and an emotional leader like Bell, it can really change an entire defense. And the other thing, which can also change a game, is the home field advantage. I think we talk about this probably every single year, but college football has the greatest home field advantage of any sport. And you saw it with the power of the whiteout part two. I know that was really the 35th whiteout, but
Yeah.
that was the follow-up to the original 05 whiteout where they beat Ohio State again as an underdog. And that was, if you're considering wars, you have a lot of wars, but you have World War I, World War II, the big ones. When you're considering whiteouts, there might be 17 of them, but the two big ones, the World War I
That's
and the
right.
World War II of whiteouts, are that 05 Ohio State game and then this past Saturday. So great job to Happy Valley. Great job to the fans. It was really cool as a fan to see the other fans really getting into it. And I just felt good for those kids who have struggled through what's been a pretty subpar season so far. I think they could really pull together something really nice if they play like that the rest of the way.
Well said, Z.
We
Hats off.
are.
Penn State.
So that's the only game I think that's worth discussing. Alabama once again just destroyed a top 10 opponent.
And scored a non-offensive touchdown again. And every time they score that touchdown, it's over. Like, because, you know, if Alabama scores on special teams or defense, you can just pretty much forget about them. Like, you just, it's a wash. And it happened again, and I'm just shit sit there shaking my head going, wasn't it 14-13 A&M with like 11 minutes to go in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden it's 44-13 or whatever it is, or 33-14. And also, how does Alabama cover the 18 and a half by winning by 19? Who does that? I swear Saban's like, haha, watch this, and we're gonna just win by 19 just for fun. So
He knows.
there you
There's a
go.
100% chance Nick Saban knows the spread and whether or not they're covering at all times.
Exactly.
Anyway, we can move along. The one thing I would add about Penn State, Ohio State is that I don't think this affects the playoff picture at all. Ohio State still can beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, and if they win the Big Ten with one loss, I think they have a very, very strong case to get in. I don't think you're going to see four undefeated teams.
No. Ohio State's totally fine. It's a fun win for Penn State, but affects nothing.
Agreed. Moving on to the lines, let's get right into it. Saturday, October 29th, week 9. Let's start with the SEC. Usually we save the SEC for the end, but Alabama's off this week. Not a ton of big games, so let's get right into it. The
Yep.
cocktail party, Dan. Georgia at Florida, actually at a neutral site. Good old Hotlanta. Or Jacksonville, sorry. Jacksonville. Like the Ryan Adams song, except different Jacksonville.
He has Jacksonville skyline and also has Jacksonville City night. So he's got two.
But those are about the North Carolina Jacksonville.
Correct.
So Jacksonville, Florida needs its own song. I'm sure there's a country song that we don't know about that I don't need to know about.
Not great. They're probably singing about how awful the Jaguars are, so I don't know.
Isn't there a band called Georgia Florida Line or Florida Georgia Line?
Yeah, or it's Mason-Dixon line. I'm not sure. It's one of those.
Are they named after the cocktail party point spread?
Probably. It's pretty good.
That might sound like a joke, but I bet you there's at least like a 20% chance.
Think you're right, actually.
Okay, Georgia at Florida, Florida a 7-point favorite. Again, that game's in Jacksonville. I keep saying at. I have
Sorry.
no thoughts. I don't care.
I would lean an under, but it's a rivalry game. And also when leading an under, lean taking the points. So if you do bet the game, I would take the points and the under.
I would love to go to this game one day.
I was thinking the same thing.
I think we have to, before we get too old, we should do some sort of like landmarks of college football tour. Can we do
Yes.
that? Can I just abandon my family for a fall? You can abandon your job and girlfriend, and we can just pick like Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia, Florida,
You
Alabama,
need
Auburn.
to, yes, yeah, of course. I mean, there's so many. Even like out here, like USC, UCLA, it's going to be like 80 degrees and sunny. We can go eat, like amazing LA food afterwards. You need to start working on your excuse to how, or sorry, why you will not be at Thanksgiving like 2023 when we're in some hotel room eating KFC. Waiting to wake up to go to Auburn, Alabama the next day on Friday. So start working on it because it's going to happen in my lifetime before I die.
Well, Dan, when the college football podcast Gold Rush starts and we get snatched up by Fox Sports to make $10 million a year, we might be required by our job to go to all these games. So that's my dream.
Yes, more than anything.
Auburn -4.5 at Ole Miss. You're on the Auburn bandwagon early. By early, I mean about 2 weeks ago. And everybody's coming around now after the massive win this past weekend.
I'm telling you, Auburn's got an unbelievably good defense, like top three in the country. They're loaded with five-star guys, and it's been a weird couple of years. I mean, they still have a lot of talent. These guys are all in the NFL. It's about coming together and gelling, and they're really playing great on defense. Offense is cutting down on mistakes and just running the hell out of the football, and that's a true Malzahn system. And I think he was trying to get a little too 2015 and started throwing it too much. And they just went back to just straight pounding it in good defense and wearing teams down. And they're rolling right now. Got to go with Auburn until further notice.
If you're an Alabama fan, first off, I'll also say that I agree with you and that Ole Miss seems to be somewhat falling apart. So lay those points all day. But if you're an Alabama fan, a few weeks ago you were thinking we destroyed USC. We've got to get through Tennessee and Texas A&M, two top 10 teams. And then we get to end the season with LSU and Auburn, two traditional powerhouses who are sort of grinding to a halt this year. So it's really that middle of the season. Now, all of a sudden, your biggest two games, your toughest two tests, are these resurgent LSU and Auburn teams, the last two of the last three games of the season. So, Alabama, they're amazing. And because of that, they don't get credit for how difficult the schedule they have to play. I think they have one of the toughest schedules of all time this year. And I think I say that every single year about them. They're one of the only top teams that consistently plays a very strong schedule, as opposed to like your Baylors, your Ohio States, who occasionally play somebody. Michigan this year played garbage up front. Give
Yeah.
it up to Saban.
He's unbelievable. What else we got from the SEC this week?
That's all I've got. Anything else you want to cover?
Tennessee, what's that line?
I believe it's 13.5 against South Carolina.
Keep in mind, all the teams that have played Alabama have won the following week and all but one have covered, so I'm going to roll that and continue with Tennessee.
Okay. Anything else, or shall we move along?
Let's move.
All right. I listed a few. This is where I'm going to make my bones and show my skill as a college football podcaster. So these are AAC and other conferences. I got five games. I got some small time picks today.
Not you.
Central Florida at Houston. Houston minus 9. Houston falling apart. Central Florida coming off a huge win at the Civil Conflict. This is worth, we won't rehash what we covered last week about the Civil Conflict. If you want to hear about that joke of a rivalry, go back and download last week's podcast. But there is an addition. So there was a trophy that Bob Diaco had made, and UConn brought it to the game, of course, because the game was here at Rentschler. UCF wins that game handily. Bob Diaco and UConn, someone from UConn, goes to present the trophy to UCF. UCF puts it down on the bench on the sideline, leaves it there, and leaves, and just leaves the trophy in this empty stadium. Nobody took it. No one on UConn bothered to take it back. So there's a great picture on Twitter of this basically empty stadium, and if you zoom way in, you see this little sad trophy sitting there by itself.
It's really funny. One, we told you UCF would win and cover as a lock last week, and that came in. Two, good for UCF for leaving the trophy there. And three, good for us for calling it the civil layover, because UCF's back in Florida and the trophy's still in Connecticut. That's pretty much a layover if you ask me. So check, check, check. Nailed it.
Left it at the baggage counter.
It's perfect.
All right, Boise State minus 13.5 at Wyoming. Boise State, this is the sort of game they could have a tendency to overlook. They play Wyoming. The thing about being in the Mountain West is that you have to travel to these weird remote locations. The states are so huge out where you live that every road game is a tough travel. But Boise State's really rolling, and I think with Houston's losses, I think that the Broncos may see an opening. They have a very good chance at being a New Year's Six team, and if some crazy things happen, who knows, they could sneak up to that four seed of the playoff. Doubtful, but it is possible. I think they really turn it on for these last few games of the season, and I'm laying the points with Boise until further notice.
I like it.
Western Michigan, they are on a bye, but I just want to briefly give them a shout-out. They are now 8-0. We have not really spoken about them, but I've been paying attention. Don't think I've forgotten about Western Michigan. 8-0, they should be able to win their next few games, and they probably will be undefeated up until November 25th when they play Toledo. Toledo currently 6-1. Toledo is the second-best team in the MAC. And so if you want some MAC-tion, a real big MAC showdown, Dan, on what I assume has to be a Tuesday night. This is a big game, so they might bump it to Wednesday night.
Ooh.
I don't know, but that's the game to watch, because I think Western Michigan should cruise until that Toledo game. And then if you're going to watch, if you only watch one MAC game this year, Dan, mark down November 25th, Western Michigan against Toledo.
Okay.
San Diego State, minus 6.5 at Utah State. Utah State is very below average this year, whereas San Diego State is probably one of the top five, maybe top three non-power fives. So I'm going to lay the touchdown in that game. And then finally, Kent State at Central Michigan. Central Michigan is a 15-point favorite. Central Michigan is a deceiving team because they're 5-3, but their two losses come to the two best teams in the MAC, the aforementioned Western Michigan and Toledo, who are both very good. They also lost to Virginia, who's not great, but they are a Power 5 team. Meanwhile, Kent State is 2-6. They are on a two-game losing streak, and those two-game losing streak games are not to great opponents. Those are to mediocre teams. So I think things are trending towards Central Michigan. The line's a little higher than I like. If you can get that at two touchdowns, I like it a lot. But I think take a small wager on Central Michigan. You like that, Dan? That's a lot of hot non-Power 5 talk.
That was excellent. You should do that every week. Just all that. And if I have anything to add, I will. But it's kind of a down week in college, so I don't. So good. Great job, Z. Very happy to see that segment.
Just so you know, I have almost no research and almost no thoughts on all of the Power Five games.
Okay, good.
So that shows you where my priorities are at.
That's fine.
Anyway.
And that's the beauty of gambling. Every game counts the same. A point that people don't understand. Hey, what are you betting on the Super Bowl? Nothing, because that line's right. But I'm going to bet the hell out of a game coming up later.
NFL is so difficult to bet these days. The lines are so right on. And even as we saw with the Alabama game, an 18.5 point line, they win by 19. The odds makers are really good at setting those lines. Where the value is in sports betting and college football betting is some of those lesser teams. I, as a fan of the Big Ten, well, listen, I grew up a Penn State fan, so I watch a lot of Big Ten. I wouldn't say I love watching Big Ten, but I feel with some of the lesser teams in the Big Ten, there's a lot of value in the lines. It's almost as if the odds makers don't put as much effort into like Purdue, Illinois, those type of games. Nor should they, because no one gives a shit. But that's where I usually see the value. So we're going to hand it off to you for the Big 12, Dan. West Virginia, undefeated West Virginia, -3.5 at Oklahoma State.
Can they keep it going? They just keep playing great football. I've lost betting against them the last 2 weeks. I'm staying away. I just want to see how this plays out.
This is a tough spot, and -3.5 is always, that's one of the worst lines because so many of those games are decided by 3 points. Texas Tech at TCU, TCU -9. Texas Tech does it again. Just when we think that the over-unders have finally caught up to Texas Tech. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll just have a 120-point game.
There were two absurd over-unders last week, and each of them went over, and each of them were in the hundreds. So again, like, if you just see an over-under in the 80s, just bet it, because they're like, ah, fuck, it should be 110, but people will all bet the under. So 83, and then people like us are the ones who just laugh at that. I mean, you think Oklahoma-Texas Tech was going to be under 85? I mean, that's only 42 each. That's only 6 touchdowns each, which is only 1.5 a quarter. I mean, they get the ball 3 times a quarter. They're going to, I mean, that was so easy. It was just awesome. I love those overs. They're so fun to bet.
So I think the total's around 86, 87 for this game.
Great. Over. Next.
Okay, next. Baylor, -3.5 at Texas. This is a weird one, Dan, because we talked about last week, Texas may have quit for the year.
Yeah, I think that I really like, for the first time all year, Baylor. Not because of Texas quitting on Charlie Strong, which may be going down, but because of all the allegations, and or not allegations, all the sanctions that went down with Art Briles and the Baylor Bears and all that.
Yeah, those are more than allegations. I think it's fair at this point to say shit that happened.
Quickly corrected that. Didn't mean to sound like a 1950s politician on that. But I think this is their chance to smash Texas and go, aha, we killed you still, and we're all messed up. Fire your coach. And I think that's their kind of shot this year to kind of rub it in UT's face, which is still the king of Texas. So anytime you have a chance to finish the king of Texas, and Charlie Strong, do it.
Could this be a Shang Tsung game, taking his soul?
If they win like 49-10, Monday morning, you're going to see a new job posting, which I will apply for. But that's
Well, Dan, you might be a year away, but you could probably get Houston.
We have a group text with all the boys. I got a random missed call from Baton Rouge this week. I didn't call it back, but I'm pretty sure they want to sit down with me after the season, because I will beat Ed Oregonian heads up in any interview all day. So hopefully I have some job news coming up. So we'll let you know.
Well, Eddie O's move is to take off his shirt and try to fight players and to tell them to touch the rope. Dan, what's your move to psych up your players?
I'm going to light the locker room on fire to just show my extreme inner passion. And I want to see how fast they can put out the fire as a team, or else the whole stadium will go up in flames. So we're going to do that as a little team builder.
That's pretty good. My move is to take a bunch of lewds, put a Gatorade cooler over my head, and tell them just hit me as hard as you can.
It's pretty good. And I like how that's the second Ludes reference. There will be a third.
Well, it's a callback. We call that in the biz.
It's coming back. It's coming back around again.
Once you take enough Ludes, you can't feel the pain. So when they're punching me, I just say, "I don't feel pain."
So good.
That's my move. That's my Eddie O coaching inspired move.
I can't wait till he gets passed over.
I had a
Sorry.
point I wanted to make and I totally am blanking. Oh, I know what it is. With all this talk about the playoff and oh, these five, maybe six teams are all fighting for the playoff, people have forgotten about the Big 12, which has two undefeated teams currently.
Yes.
And the way the Big 12 looks this year, who knows? They could finish undefeated, one loss. I don't
Absolutely.
anticipate them being the four best teams in the country if you just go by sheer talent, but who knows?
There's a chance the Big 12 team could just get hot and crash this party.
Three things, Dan, you don't want to forget about. 9/11, Dre, and West Virginia, Baylor. That's four, I guess.
Z, you're on fire today. Unbelievable.
I have the right combination of not having to work the rest of the week, so I got that sort of cruising into the long weekend high, coupled with so much lack of sleep that I'm slightly delirious, but not totally delirious.
This is a good combo for you. Whatever you're doing is working. I want to see this every week.
Thanks. I call it natural lewds.
I kind of like that.
Lack of sleep is God's lewds, Dan. That's what my Sunday school teacher used to say.
God's Ludes. Good fantasy football team name. Write that one down.
Penn State minus 13 at Purdue. So I like Penn State. It remains to be seen if they'll play as they did against Ohio State in all their remaining games. I think this line is a little overvalued. People overcorrecting for the big win with Ohio State games at Purdue. It's a letdown spot. Purdue, they're not going to win this game, but they've been known to keep it close with teams. I think they kept it to 13 with Nebraska last week. So I don't like it. Stay away. Michigan
Well,
minus.
Tom,
Sorry.
no. I have plenty of thoughts. Sorry, I did not make this clear. This is both my lock and trap of the week. Purdue, absolute stone cold lock this week. Let me give you some reasons for this. One, they fired their horrible head coach, Hazel, Hazel, whatever. 9-33 during his tenure. They obviously made no bowl games. They last made a bowl game in the year before he was hired. Players hated him, couldn't stand him. They didn't run the offense the way that everyone wanted to. They shrunk it. They didn't run plays that Purdue had traditionally run for a lot of years. That's all over with. New interim head coach, 35 years old, just like us. After his first game last week against Nebraska, which they were leading at halftime at Nebraska, which Nebraska was spotted a touchdown 1 minute into the game and still was trailing at halftime. And Purdue beat Nebraska last year as an unranked Purdue team. So despite of all that, in the first game with the new coach, after the game was over on Monday, he's just sitting around his office, phone rings. Who is it? Clemson coach, Dabo Swinney, who has never met the guy, decides to give him a call because he said, "I was watching your game and I was really impressed." And talked to him for a half hour because those two guys are in the same situation. They're both wide receivers coaches. And their head coaches got fired and they became interim, so he gave him a lot of good advice with that. Purdue wants to make a bowl game this year really, really bad. They started 3-2. If they lose this game this week, it's not looking great. Purdue's going to claw and fight like hell to try to win this game and make a bowl. Also, Penn State hasn't played a road game since September 24th against Michigan. That's a long layoff. They haven't left the state of Pennsylvania in over a month. Now they got to go on the road after that win. I'm sure they partied on Monday and Tuesday. Practice, I'm sure they didn't take as serious. All the motivation in the world's with Purdue and their new coach and their new offense that's scoring a lot of points. All the negatives with Penn State traveling off for the biggest win in 20 years. How the hell can you not bet Purdue plus 14? Bet it, max it out. This is one of my favorite bets of the entire year. Penn State's going down outright. Purdue plus 14, lock of the month.
Wow. Slow golf clap for me. Dan, Mr. Big Ten knowledge. I'm sorry. I just tried to go on to the next game. Usually we get to the Big Ten and you just let me handle it. You couldn't get away from Big Ten games more quickly. What made the change? You just see a golden opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, like, and this is kind of something that I'm not saying like, oh, congratulations, Dan, it's already a winner. But something that I always look at is when I'm watching games on a Saturday, I'm seeing what I'm thinking ahead to the following week, what kind of reaction are these teams going to be? And after that Penn State game, I mean, I couldn't wait to just see who they were playing next week. And I looked at all the factors and just it just kept getting better and better. I mean, everything in the world points to Purdue. Yes, they have the worst rush defense and blah, 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 blah. But just straight non X's and O's, it could not be higher for Purdue this week. So there you go.
Well, yeah, to our listeners who aren't degenerates like us, even the greatest sports gamblers pick what, 55,
Five.
58% maybe. If you pick 60%, you can, sell your picks for thousands of dollars. Sports gambling isn't really about knowing who's going to win. That's impossible. What it's really about is finding value in the lines, finding lines you believe to be off, trends. Sometimes it just comes down to a hunch or sort of things you see on the field that aren't reflected in the stats. And so even if you lose this bet, Dan, you've already won with that kind of astounding research, is my point.
Thank
It's
you
like
very
we're
much.
in the gifted program all over again, except this time we won't get kicked out for hitting the teacher in the face with a checker when playing floor hockey.
Fair enough. That is true. And my last point on this game, real quick, wouldn't it be so fitting for James Franklin to blow this game? I mean, it would just be epic. And if this game goes the way I think it's going to go, I'll be a happy guy on Saturday.
Kiffin, Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
It's Toledo versus Eastern Michigan, MAC 2023.
And we're going to have to take Brady Hoke out of there because he's the Oregon defensive coordinator, in case no one remembered. And they're the worst defense, like, outside of Texas Tech. So he's now not even in head coach, like, realm
Hoke is
at all.
FCS. The
He's
new
finished.
replacement for MAC 2023, and this will segue into our next game, is Mr. Mark D'Antonio.
Yes, he is.
Michigan minus 24 at Michigan State. Mark is not long for this Michigan State world if he doesn't turn things around. We'll give him one. He did make the playoff. They'll give him 1 year, but the way they've been playing is so atrociously bad. This is not a rebuilding year. Something's seriously wrong up there.
If you would have told me a couple weeks ago when Michigan State played Notre Dame, like if you combined their teams, they would still suck. I never would have imagined that in a million years, but it's true somehow. This is the same spot as Ohio State last week. You should, just stay away from this game. It's probably right. Michigan State's gonna have that rah-rah. Doesn't matter what happened at this point. All that matters is beating Michigan talk. No one's gonna remember anything else except beating undefeated Michigan. So all the motivation in the world, yada, yada, yada. Harbaugh's pretty much the exception to the rule. He's one of that, small percentage of coaches who it doesn't matter where they play or who they play, he gets his team to perform. So that's scary. But I'll completely stay away from this one.
If I had to bet, I would take Michigan.
Yeah.
You can't lay any points or take any points with Michigan State this year, but I will stay away. But this is, to me, this is a sweep the leg. Or what's the line from Karate Kid? Put him in a body bag.
There it is. Put him in a body
That's
bag.
happening this game. Michigan's going to crush them. Northwestern at Ohio State. Ohio State minus 26.5. I think the thinking with this line is that Ohio State, mad off of last week's loss and looking to solidify their chances to still be in the playoff, is just going to come out and take Northwestern out behind the woodshed. But Northwestern's pretty good. I don't know if that will happen.
I would lean an Ohio State first half line on this. I feel like they'll come out pretty strong. So it doesn't matter how good Northwestern is. Ohio State will be ready to play. Look at the Urban Meyer teams at Florida after they lost a game. Those next weeks were never close, never even remotely close.
They'll be running down to the reservoir and
Oh.
running up it, a la West Tennessee lacrosse.
They will not stop. He will not pull the starters. It will be disgusting.
Nebraska at Wisconsin. Wisconsin minus 8.5, which seems like a lot of points. They are at home. They are a top 10 team, but so is Nebraska. Nebraska's undefeated, although obviously the lines makers and many others don't feel they deserve to be quite that high. Any thoughts on this, Mr. Big Ten?
Coming out of retirement. I know. It's a lot of points for a Wisconsin team that doesn't, you know, necessarily light it up. They do have an unbelievable defense. Nebraska is one of my personal hardest teams to bet. I never know what to do. It's a complete stay away from me.
I don't have a feel for this game. I told you I really shot my wad on those MAC games, and I have nothing for this big game. I think you stay away. I think maybe take the points in what is a Big Ten West rivalry game. This game is essentially for a spot in the Big Ten championship. So if Nebraska can't show up and keep it within 8.5, I'd be very disappointed in them. They have the senior quarterback. I think they find a way to keep it within 8.5, but I'll tell you what, I won't be betting more than $5 on that one. I mean, that's a small wager.
Smart.
Dan, last week I wrote something down. Last week we talked about how we should get some sponsors. I made some calls, Dan. I got us a sponsor. I'd like to do an ad read right now.
Go right ahead.
Take the Points this week is brought to you all by the CBS All Access app. Dan, some apps charge outrageous monthly prices. Other apps make you watch long and boring commercials, but only the CBS All Access app does both.
Unbelievable.
Well, CBS done. All Access. We're lucky we have SEC football.
I like it. CBS.
CBS All Access now offers, for an additional price, you can get rid of the commercials.
Wow. That's
how many people out there are cord cutters, but I'm a cord cutter. So the CBS All Access app is $6.99 per month. That is for the version with all of the long, boring commercials. Just to put that in comparison, Netflix is $8 a month. So for $7, you get every show on CBS and no NFL football on that app, by the way. For $1 extra, you can have every movie ever made and one of the two companies that's making the best TV shows on Earth right now, along with HBO. So,
yeah, there you go.
Choose wisely.
It's crazy.
The problem is, even me, who's pretty technologically inclined, I ordered CBS All Access app last year to watch Alabama LSU, and I can't really figure out how to delete it. Yeah, so I guess I'm just stuck with it. I mean, I'm sure I could figure it out, but they make it so difficult to cancel all these things that it's just like, I'd rather pay $7 a month than have to figure out, like spend 2 hours trying to figure out how to cancel.
That's fair. I like that.
All right, Pac-12, this is all you, Dan. We'll start with the Friday night game, Cal at USC. I've seen this line anywhere from 14 to 16.5. My opinion, the more points you get with Cal, the better.
I completely agree. I don't understand why it's this high. There's no injury to Davis Webb or anything. USC showed up for 1 week the whole year and everyone gets excited. I don't know. I'm wagering Cal. And even if they're down 30, they still can score two touchdowns and sneak it in the back door. So I like Cal.
Sometimes I get worried when I think a line looks too easy that perhaps Vegas knows something I don't know. This is one of those cases. When I look at that, I jump to Cal immediately. Why not? Why wouldn't you pick Cal? Right. So then it makes me wonder if something's wrong. I think there should be a name for that kind of phenomenon.
We'll come up with something.
Perhaps the Zalesnok overthink, but that's not catchy. We'll think of something.
Z-think.
A Z-think game?
Z-think. Z-think. Kind of like, you know, think tank. Z-think.
I feel like it's got to be something about Vegas being smarter than us. A Vegas knows best game. We'll think about it. All right. I'm just going to read the rest of these off and you can take your pick. Arizona State at Oregon. Who would have thought this game would ever be so horrible? -7.5. In favor of Oregon, Washington State -13.5 at Oregon State. Stanford -5.5 at Arizona. And then the Washington Huskies travel to Utah. Utah is a 9.5-point dog.
All these lines are out of control this week in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is really weird. Like, Washington's killing people, which is already weird enough because we haven't seen that in, oh, I don't know, 25 years. These lines are bizarre. Oregon is a flat-out 0-7 against the spread this year, and they're laying 8 to Arizona State. I'm confused with that.
Doesn't speak highly of your hometown team.
No, they should fire Todd Graham. We talk about it every week. It's pathetic. Washington State should absolutely destroy Oregon State, but it's a road game, so that line could be anywhere between 10 and 25, so they kind of stuck it at 13. Stanford's horrible. Christian McCaffrey's having the worst October and fall of just about anybody that I know. And U of A is a complete mess too, so somehow that's in the Vegas zone of 5 points because Vegas has no clue who's going to win that game or by how many points. It is said, ah, Stanford -5. Tell us, wake us up Sunday and tell us who we got to pay. It's a really hard week. I really only like Cal, and that probably won't come in anyhow. So Pac-12 is a total clusterfuck. Stay away.
Okay. The ACC, two games. Number one, Miami -2.5 at Notre Dame. Ricked, Kelly. It's Akron versus Kent State. Tuesday night Maction 2024.
Can't wait.
This is a preview of your future MAC matchup.
Oh, yeah.
This feels like a Mark Richt game where they choke it away to a bad Notre Dame team.
Yeah, it really does. But I kind of want to see Notre Dame keep losing and see if my prediction of Brian Kelly getting fired on the Week 2 podcast actually might come true. So we'll see. I'm going to root for Miami. Not that I'm going to bet it at all.
Oh, all right. And then I suppose you could call this the game of the week. This week doesn't really have a game of the week worthy game, but Clemson -5 at Florida State would have to be the one. Clemson really scratching and clawing their way to stay undefeated. Now they face their second toughest test of the season and their bitter rival for the last few years. What do you think? Florida State seems to be coming on.
Clemson caught Florida State at the wrong time. They are coming on. And Florida State has owned Clemson over the years, except for last year. It was the only time. Oh, this is so hard. Everything football-wise points to Clemson still winning this game. But it's so hard to bet against Florida State getting points at home. I mean, how many times do you get that option? I mean, you're always laying points with Florida State. When do you get to take them as a home dog? It's disgusting. I'll be talking myself into a Clemson bet and probably a glass of scotch, because I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to hit, like I'm going to make that bet and regret it 4 seconds afterwards. So just to let you know.
I will be up in Syracuse this weekend, our hometown. So I don't know if I'll get to watch too much football. I don't know if I'll get to watch this. I'm sure that somehow there'll be like a West Genesee football game on the public access channel that people want to watch instead.
Channel 13, shout out. And also shout out Life of Shame. Don't worry about it.
If I'm with my parents, they'll be wanting to watch whatever primetime drama is on CBS. Cause I'm pretty sure they don't know how to work a remote. Like they just put their TV on CBS and just break the knob off.
No, I think they do.
And technically their TV hasn't had a knob in at least 3 years. But it still applies. And then if I'm over at someone else's house, I have a feeling there will be some sort of SU, like Midnight Madness preview of, I don't know, for the basketball team. I'm pretty sure SU fans have given up on football. So we'll see how that goes. Dan, anything else you want to add about football before we touch on a couple quick topics?
No, it's a pretty quiet week. Just watch, observe, pick good spots. Take Purdue.
I would be remiss if I didn't hand it to you for at least a quick analysis of the World Series. Of the two of us, you're the only one who ever did or partially cares about baseball. And we've got a historic one this year. So what do you think? Cubs Indians.
It is historic. As we record this podcast, the Cubs are up 2-0 in the early in game two. You have to still like the Cubs. They have more talent. Indians are jinxed. Cubs are jinxed. Someone's got to win. I'm still gonna go with the Cubs. I don't like it. I'm still mad at baseball. I still never really got over the 94 strike. I'm still mad. I'm literally still mad 22 years later. I don't think I've been mad about anything my whole life more than a week, but I'm still mad about the strike because baseball was my favorite sport. I knew it inside and out, and I'm from Pittsburgh. The people there make $40,000 a year, and they ain't going to 81 baseball games. So what, what the hell am I supposed to do? Still pissed. Pretty easy to tell.
Dan's never gotten over the retirement of Andy Van Slyke.
No, Andy Van Slyke, like, we've never really replaced him at center. So, Cubs in six, and I hope the season ends as soon as possible.
That would be a historic win for the Cubs. I feel good for them. This podcast is also cursed. We were the number one podcast in 1934 until a mule kicked over my microphone mid-taping.
It's true.
Ever since
Very
then, we've never made the top 10 of iTunes again. This could be the year, though, Dan.
I love it.
Can I say something about curses? They're bullshit. Here's the thing. The team was cursed, and I'm using air quotes, for so many years. All of a sudden, they get Hazleton's finest, Joe Madden, in there. And now, magically, they're the best team. Even if they don't win, I think they've sort of shed that loser persona. There's no such thing as curses in sports. You just have bad management, bad players, mostly bad management, bad owners. I look to my fellow Buffalo Bills fans. There's no curse on the Bills. We're not lucky enough to have a curse. I feel like teams that talk about a curse, like the Cubs and Cleveland sports, it's kind of their own way of denying the fact that they've just sucked for so long. Like, they're like, oh, what do you want from me, man? I'm cursed.
Exactly.
Like,
That's
imagine
funny.
if people did this in other facets of life. It's like you're 65 years old and you've never left the mailroom at your first job. Hey, man, my first day of work, a goat walked across and kicked my car. It's not my fault.
Nope. Some things are out of your control in life. You just got to roll with what happens.
You got to watch out for goats, mules. They're nothing but trouble. Last thing, Dan, we talked about legalizing sports gambling. We talked about the similarities with marijuana. Massachusetts, our bordering state, has a recreational marijuana legalization measure on the ballot in a couple of weeks. Would you like to make a case to the people of Massachusetts which way to vote?
I would say no. I'm not in favor of medical marijuana.
It's
There's enough.
recreational, not medical.
Okay, recreational's fine. No one should go to jail for that. I totally agree with that. But on the topic, real quick, I don't agree with medical marijuana. People are not smart enough to handle it. There's going to be car accidents and stuff, and it's an easy drug to find. I mean, is it really going to be like, oh, shucks, weed's gone forever? I mean, I just don't see it changing anything. I just wouldn't arrest anybody really for it, except for driving. And that's it.
I find it odd when they give cannabis or THC oil to kids. I know that it seems to help people, but it just seems like it's counterproductive in a time when they're still trying to get it legalized to give it to kids. But maybe that's just the lame parent in me talking. Anyway, Dan, we have to wrap this up. We have a, well, we've gone for a while, but we've got to end it tonight. I've got other responsibilities. I will give you your choice. You can share your favorite story from when we were in the gifted program in middle school, or your favorite story from any of our bad high school or college jobs, including Undercutter's Landscaping.
Bad high school or college jobs. We're gonna do that. My favorite bad high school or college job. Wow.
It could just be one bad story.
Well, I'll tell you a story about a job I took after I graduated college. I spent a summer at the New Jersey shore at Sea Isle and needed a job. And after doing nothing for a couple of weeks, I said, "Hey, I need a summer job. It's time to make some money. I do go out drinking every day. I need something to pay for this." So I got a job working for the ice company, and ice is big. People are drinking, they're, you know, doing all that. And I weighed about probably 270 pounds at the time, and I asked people about it, and they said it's a great job. They'll give you full-time hours, and it's a really good workout, and you might lose some weight too. And I'm like, oh wow, that's a pretty much an asshole comment, but I appreciate the heads up on that. So the night before I start, I'm supposed to start on a Monday, which is a normal day because you go to bed at a normal hour on Sunday, unless you live at the Jersey Shore. So the best part of this story is I'm supposed to be at work at 5 a.m. at the ice place to start loading or whatever they did. I don't know. As you can tell, I never made it. And we went out. It was an all-day adventure. A girl who was living in her house met some guy at a bar. He had an Escalade. She ended up calling him a loser. She took the car and stole said Escalade. That happened. A friend of mine's girlfriend came and visited. He got so mad at her that he physically put her in the car and drove her from New Jersey on the ocean back across state lines into Philadelphia, dropped her off, and came back and said, I quote, I'm totally embarrassed and I'm totally ashamed. We were still awake when I was supposed to be at this job, and I actually walked by the ice place at the same time I was supposed to be there and had a good laugh and went home and went to bed about 6 in the morning. So that was a good one because I never made it to my first day, and I never ended up getting a job. I just played poker at the Taj Mahal, which is really funny. So there you go.
I'm pretty sure, I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure I was either there on that night or a couple days afterwards, because I remember that story vividly about the Escalade.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Like, we like woke up the next day and we're like, why is there an Escalade parked in our driveway? She's like, oh, it's some guys I met. We're like, what? How does this happen? This was like before cell phones too. So you're like, I don't know, I gotta come find you.
You also had a random guitar player who was walking down the street and we were yelling at him from your deck. And then he came up and started playing songs on your deck. And then he started telling stories about how a girl stormed the stage. And so I'm not going to repeat verbatim how he described it, but he described to us hitting a woman over the head with his guitar.
Yeah, that was unexpected. And that was towards the end of his performance on our deck, I believe.
That was the end. After that, he was kindly suggested that he leave immediately. I clubbed her like a baby seal. That's what he said. Yep, he added a few other choice words in there.
4th of July party 2003 will go down as one of the more legendary ones you'll ever be a part of. Anyway, good times, the Jersey Shore. That's my favorite shitty job, one I never went to. I'm glad I never did.
Good stuff. All right, we'll end there. TakeThePoints.net, iTunes, Stitcher, and that's it. I'm sure there's something else that I'm forgetting.
Happy hunting. Goodbye, everybody.
All right. Good night, everyone. Take the point.